Tom Hanks Podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks Podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. My name is Rachel, and I'm very excited because I have one of my favorite people in the entire world. So funny, so wonderful, so talented. He's an actor. He's a comedian, an improviser, and an extraordinaire. Corey Finn Willis.
Hey, hello, hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Today we are talking about Careless.
The classic.
2007.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Immediately I was like, when was this movie supposed to have happened?
Yeah.
Like I knew it was mid-2000s, but when was it supposed to have taken place?
Yeah. Wow. Guess 2007, though they didn't really say anything right about...
There's no reference points to be like, oh, this is happening in the world. Nothing is discussed in the world.
Yeah. So I usually read the synopsis off IMDb for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, which is probably a lot of people. but it's very long. They're usually not this long, but this one is very long, so I'm going to read it. Okay. An offbeat comedy in the style of Bottle Rocket and After Hours, Wiley Roth finds a severed human finger in his kitchen one night. Understandably freaked out, Wiley and his best friend Mitch try to figure out the mystery of the finger in a search across Los Angeles that brings them in contact with psychics, ineffectual police, crooked taxidermists, mysterious neighbors who might be on drugs, and a nine-fingered woman named Cheryl who might and probably end up being the girl of his dreams. Is that accurate?
Wow. What a ride. Yes. I feel like this is the kind of thing that you need the synopsis before you watch the movie, because I have not read that synopsis, and I'm like, oh, that's what this movie was about.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know. It felt like it wanted to be a movie, but it wasn't. It felt like white people food, where it needed something to it, like plain chicken, right?
Even just like texture. I'm not even saying like flavor profiles, just like texture. Give me anything to grab onto.
Yeah.
Because I got nothing from this.
It just was like one A plot that was kind of there, but you needed something else going on. Like, you were following Colin's character after he finds this finger in his kitchen. And then that's it.
That's it. And also the exposition of his character and like who he is, how he got there, doesn't show up until 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Like I went back and rewatched it and was like, wait a second. I didn't know who this guy was until a half hour into the movie, which is just like, it doesn't ground you in any way. You're like, I don't know or really care about this guy. Except he's got a really awful beard.
Yeah.
Like, that is... That's the only traction I got on him was like, ooh, look at that beard.
It's like different colors, right?
Yeah, which I guess is just... That's normal. I mean, to have different facial hair. As someone who wears a beard and has different colors in my beard, I get that. And it's... fine, but just the way that this is done, it was all like, it was as if they dyed it.
Yeah, it looked like they just dyed the beard, but not his hair.
Yeah.
And then it was
so his whole aesthetic was very perplexing.
Yeah.
Again, I couldn't tell when the movie was made, like when the movie was supposed to have existed.
Yeah. It, well, 2007.
Yeah, but he looked like, it looked like it could have been late 90s.
Yes, it did look fashion. 90s. Yeah.
Right?
Also, I'm just like, Colin, what are you doing? I'm so far in this, yeah, this quest of watching all of Colin's movies. I'm like, Colin, you are Colin Hanks. You can say no to things.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And you, like, can he also needs a, strive. He needs a
team.
Yeah. It's like, you can strive for something higher than what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the, oh, yeah, this is such a great point. He, like, needs, he's like a rudderless ship.
Yeah.
And, like, just a majestic craft. Just an amazing vessel.
Yeah.
Beautiful man, bubbling personality, all the perfect parts of Tom Hanks,
yeah,
like, have been, like, passed down to him. It's like he's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger twin, and then Jet is like the Danny DeVito twin.
Oh, no.
Sorry to bring him up. But like, he's like so wonderful and perfect, but then he is just like rudderless. Like, it's like, dude, what are you? You're funny, you're charming, you're sincere in moments, but, and it all happens in this movie. All of those things happen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was
like the director was afraid to direct him, maybe? I don't know.
There was something missing from this. I was just like, why? And then I did read like a review that was like, this is actually really funny. And I was like, but that was before I watched it. And I was like, oh, well, maybe it'll be like a surprise movie that I like. No.
Yeah, absolutely not.
There was a movie that he did before this called like 11:14, and that was like a movie I'd never heard of before, but it had like Hilary Swank and Rachel Lee Cook and Patrick Swayze in it, and that was actually surprisingly really good. Like, I was like, oh, why don't more people know about this movie?
And he's not the lead in that, right?
No. Okay. But this one, he's the lead. Maybe he just wanted to be the lead of a movie, and so he's, I don't know.
It is kind of, oh, well, you know what? I mean, I guess I didn't really take this into account. Comedy doesn't age well.
No.
But, like, random humor, I think, is what this was a victim of, maybe.
Oh,
right?
'Cause okay.
Isn't that kind of that,
yeah,
time frame? Like, post-Step Brothers and, like, you know, like, pre-social,
yeah,
justice-leaning comedy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but even that, maybe? Like, maybe, I don't know. I felt like at times, like, the voiceover that he did where he was like, and then I found a finger on it. Like, that was like, oh, this could be something. If it was, like, stylized like that where he just kept narrating, mm-hmm, things, you know. But they lost that. And then it was just, like, him carrying around, yeah, this finger. And then
just fully abandoned.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it felt like you were watching a movie that was edited so aggressively by, and I don't mean, editing is a skill, and uh-huh, I respect editors so much because they can, especially with comedy, like, they can make comedy so good, but I feel like this was just mismanaged in the edit process, and
yeah,
so much disappeared that needed to be there. Kind of, and they like sacrifice plot for like jokes.
Yeah.
And the jokes weren't even that funny. So yeah, it's like, yeah.
I want to read the script to see if, like, because there's
right?
just something that, like, maybe they just weren't working out together. Like, the director didn't understand the script, or like, the script wasn't,
yeah,
there, and the director didn't take control to, like, give it something, or just, like, I don't know.
Because this isn't, like, this doesn't feel like the studio ruined this movie.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it was even, like, if it was, like, an indie.
It feels independent. It feels, yeah, very indie.
Oh, the budget was only $500,000.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there were moments in this movie where we're gonna jump all around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the egg scene, the eggs in the alley when they're fighting.
Oh yeah.
When neighbor starts throwing eggs, there were a couple of like beautifully lit close-up shots of both of them. And one, I was like, oh, I should be watching because an egg's gonna enter frame and just like donk these guys like on their foreheads. But also just the quality of those shots in isolation, far superior to anything else that was done in that whole movie. It was just this like, oh, this is a beautiful cinematic moment. And they're just punching shots of them like having this weird protracted, like badly acted argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
It probably, if I was told this was like a student film, I think I would like it better, because then that makes sense. Because then it student films to me feel like just like random people coming together and just like doing their job but not really talking. You know.
You nailed this so perfectly. Yes. Yeah.
Because you'll be like, oh, that person's really good at like DPing, so like we'll get them, and so then the shots are like really beautiful, but they don't really make sense to the director's vision, and then like the actors are all acting differently because no one's really giving them direction, so like they all feel like they're in different movies.
Yeah.
And then yeah.
They're all at different skill levels too. Like the director might have been great, and like the DP was like a phenomenal like art school kid, right? And like then like the actors were like whoever this Mitch guy was, prototype Ben Schwartz, just a full on prototype Ben Schwartz, like Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec, but he, like, it was like he was like clawing for every scene, just being I'm going to outshine Colin Hanks every time we're on screen, and it felt that way. Like, to me, at least, I was like, stop trying to upstage like the lead of the movie.
I was like, I don't believe these people are friends, because I found Mitch to be very annoying.
I found him to be annoying and also just like a cartoon character. His jobs, like, he has a list of these jobs. I think that's his like character game, I guess you could call it, of just being like, I work for a marketing company, I work for some finance bros, I work for a talent agent, I work for whatever. And it just like none of it made sense.
No.
Like, it didn't make, and it didn't make him more, it didn't make him like the wild best friend. It just made him like the, like, why are you fucking hanging out with this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he clearly just wants to like hook up with your coworker.
Yeah.
Also, that was weird. That, whoa.
Yeah.
Again, the edit, what happened? There was a love story that percolated between those two at work that was just like never brought into this movie.
No.
So that kiss made no sense.
Yeah. And then also, it just, feels like they didn't, they just were like, these are the extra characters. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, no, not, maybe the director was super focused on getting the movie done and staying within their budget, or maybe they were more like technically like, oh, we need to shoot like a good movie, like which didn't really come across either. Just some of like the framing and some of just the weird shit, just being like, what are you showing me? It took me a while to figure out they were in LA. It shouldn't take me a while to figure out you're in LA in this movie. It really shouldn't. But I was like, wait, are they? Is this LA? Is this San Diego?
It says they're in LA.
It's LA.
Yeah.
But is this LA? These are places I've never seen for a reason.
Yeah.
They don't end up in movies because, oh God, I feel like I'm shitting on every person who did
No.
This movie.
No, they deserve it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, they deserve it. Yeah. There were some choice dialogue. Just being like, hey. And then realizing it was made in 2007, I was like, these are choices. They were like, yeah, this is funny. These are the jokes.
Yeah. I feel like 2000s comedies will never age well. I mean, most comedies won't age well, but...
Right.
Why? Why can't we make a decent comedy that will last?
I mean,
Clueless is pretty good, but there are some, like, R words, and then also some of the jokes that they make about Christian maybe aren't great, but...
Yeah.
But that's also based on a Jane Austen. So maybe you just have to... You have base everything off of, like, an old thing.
Well, also, Rachel, these movies are predominantly written by... 40-year-old white dudes.
Yeah.
But
not Clueless.
Not Clueless, though. Exactly. Like, but yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you have it, when it's not written, but that, unfortunately, the culture,
yeah,
especially like a studio film, like Clueless was a studio film. So yeah. I'm sure that there were like, no, we got to throw in some like,
yeah,
you know, we got to throw in some stuff for the people. And it's like, no, you don't. I don't want to get in the head of anybody else. But I think a lot of these movies are written and produced by 40-year-old white dudes who are friends with other 40-year-old white dudes.
Boo. So, and thank God the world is changing. Slowly.
Yes. Slowly. Maybe comedies from now-ish are going to be like... sustainable or will hold up, maybe.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a comedy I've seen recently.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I think like
Crazy Rich Asians, I think, will be fine.
Yes. Yeah. I think Crazy Rich Asians, maybe like,
I'm trying to think
like,
of movies.
Girls Trip.
I love it when she pees on everyone.
Or like I mean, we're literally just, but listen to the movies that we're listing.
Yeah, yeah.
We're movies that are not about, like just white culture.
Yeah.
They're not written and produced by white folks. So it's just that it is changing.
Yeah.
But there's still tons of trash comedy out there that will age so poorly.
Yeah. I mean, well, there is one white people movie that I like, Hot Rod, I think was really funny.
Yep.
But that also just is a bunch of like a series of sketches together.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some that will hold up, I think.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since it came out, but everyone talks about how Step Brothers is the funniest comedy ever.
That was something that I was thinking too, which was that's an Adam McKay one. So that's like a 40-year-old white dude making comedies that work. So it's fucking possible.
Yeah.
Like, clearly it's possible. But it's not what everyone wants.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, that's changing. We're changing it.
We are changing it. It's happening.
It's us. We're changing it.
Yeah. Tony Shalhoub.
Oh yeah.
Can we just talk about Tony Shalhoub being in this movie?
That I love
every
Tony
time he's
Shalhoub.
On screen. Yeah, I'm just like more of this. I need more of.
Yeah.
Whatever he's bringing, more. It comes clear that he's like emotionally unstable by the end of the movie. He's like screaming at seagulls, and I was like, I love this. Because, like, he's, and just the story of, like, the way he sets up, like, first of all, the story that he, like, pulls Colin in and tells when, like, he's on the couch to try and, like, rally his spirit and being, you know, when your mom choked on that chicken bone. And he's like, Mom ran away with a plumber. Which they could have just said plumber. They didn't need to add the Romani slur. Not necessary. One of those, like, you didn't need that. But it was like, that moment was like, oh, that's so weird. What a weird thing. Like, his dad, when he was real little, his mom, like, clearly, like, something tragic happened and she left. So he, like, made up this story. Yeah. And then it's revealed later when, like, they're at the bar talking about, like, how her father had passed and how his mother had passed. Or his mother was no longer in his life. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, she left when I was a teenager. And I was like, wait a second. Why would the dad character, like, just openly lie to his son who knew what happened? Like, it's not, like, you would remember if your mom choked to death on a chicken bone. You know what I'm saying? Versus, like, she ran off with another man. It's just such, like, a funny choice to make that pays off in its own way. But also one of the only... It's Tony Shalhoub, though. Of course it's going to pay off. He's so charming.
Great. I forgot all the movies that he's been in that I love. Galaxy Quest.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that in forever. I wonder how that one holds up.
I bet it holds up pretty well.
Yeah. Also,
I bet it does. Yeah.
Monk.
Monk is. Yeah.
That was one of my. That was a show that my parents watched.
Yep. His character in Men in Black.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that Men in Black.
So great. Yeah. Just, he always plays like the funny character that you're like, I just want him to be okay, but I know he's never going to be okay. What a sweet spot to nail.
Yeah. He's also in Cars. He plays Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a Disney character. That's a dream.
But he can play these sincere, beautiful moments, though, too.
Yeah.
Which is why the comedy in this, when he plays comedic moments, they're so good.
Yeah.
And he's just the best actor in this movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, Colin. Sorry.
You know, Colin whatever, knows it too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Bang Theory dude was in this too.
Oh, yeah. He's the friend, right?
No, he's the, he's the rival at work, the manager.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who finds the finger?
Yeah.
God, there are so many moments in this movie where I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah. Well,
what am I watching?
I liked... Okay, so they work at like a bookstore, right? But it's like... it's like a...
Book 'em.
Yeah. And he has
It's supposedly all mysteries.
Yeah.
Like it's a mystery-themed bookstore.
I feel like they should have played on more with Colin's character. Like, he works in this mystery bookstore, so, like, he would be like, well, like, this book that I've read. And then that's why he gets into this detective thing, because that's his whole deal, right? But they didn't really tap into that well, and that would have made it better. I feel like that was probably what they had in mind, but they just didn't achieve it.
Yeah. Like, the story... The actual real story that is told by the end of this movie is so much more fantastic and so much more out of the realm of like expectation or like possibility even than what was like initially proposed in those weird things where it's like, my neighbors are drug dealers. They like took this guy and cut his finger off in my apartment. And then like, the guy was traumatized, so he left the finger there. And then Mitch... Oh, God. I forgot about Mitch's story. With the two guys. Just two otherwise nice guys. They kill somebody. They gotta get rid of the body. So they go all over town. They chop him up. And they're just throwing little pieces of him all over the place. And they go by your open window. And he tries to throw one. And that one doesn't make it. But then he says, double or nothing. And he... Second one makes it in. And, like, there's no reason for that whole story to have happened. Yeah. Because it's like, wait, so there's a second finger in this story? Like, now just go look outside the window. Like, there are just all these wildly fantastic, funny things. And then, like, the actual thing, the actual reason why the finger is there is, like, this is a horror story. This is more from like a horror film than from a comedy or an action or a mystery.
And they don't really explain how the finger really got in there.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. They reference Jimmy.
Yeah.
Who is in, he's in the store. He only makes one other appearance in the movie, which is at the start when those dudes are moving in.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, nice fox or nice raccoon or something. And he's like, Jimmy the ass kisser. And I like forgot about that guy existing in the movie. And then when this like handsome, charming dude shows up at the end of the movie, who's like wearing like a blood spattered apron. And he's like, if it isn't my old neighbor. And I was like, who is this guy? I don't know. Did I like go to the bathroom in the middle of this and not pause the movie and like miss a whole thing? And then it was like, oh no, it was just the guy who was casually mentioned during the narration phase of the movie.
Yeah.
As like a, this is just a person who exists in the world.
Yeah. I think that's cheap mystery writing where you don't mention or you barely mention the person that's going to be that person at the end of the movie, because then you don't have to like weave in fun things where it's like, oh, no, maybe, no, you know?
Yeah. But they do weave in fun things, but none of them connect to Jimmy.
No, right? So like, that's why I'm saying it's lazy, because it's like you could have thought this out. I feel like that's why I'll never write like a mystery at all, because I feel like you have to work your way backwards and then have to weave everything in if you want to write it well. Or you could just do this way where it's like you figure out who's going to be it and you casually mention them at one point, and then at the end of the movie you're like, I was that person that I mentioned at the beginning. It's like, well, that was lazy.
Well, that was just stupid.
Yeah.
It's like not like Knives Out compared to like this. It's just like a, oh, you guys weren't even trying. Like you, that said, there were a couple of moments in this movie that I thought were maybe some of like, not like some of the funniest things I've seen ever, but certainly some of the funniest things I've seen recently. At one moment when the cops show up, when Brian Posehn and the other cop shows up, and just the way that other cop spirals.
Yeah.
It's never really paid off. But it was just one of the funniest, like, what is happening right now? Why is he like, is like, oh no. And just like goes and like walks away and sits down and like hands in his head and is just processing. Like it's like his fault that the finger was lost or something.
Yeah.
And has never paid off fully. But it was just such like, I stopped. Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I definitely scrolled my phone a little bit when I was watching this.
Same.
I did get up to go to the... I roasted myself some Brussels sprouts. Garlic-roasted Brussels sprouts.
Have you tried smashed Brussels sprouts? I saw that on TikTok.
I haven't had smashed, but I've been doing shaved Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, folks, is there anything more amazing than I'm like getting hungry even thinking about it?
Yeah, I know, me too.
I should make that again. Yeah. But yeah, I was like kind of half watching, and when that spiral started happening, I was like, okay, what?
Yeah.
What is? And like rewound it back to be like, oh, something must have set this in motion. Nothing sets it in motion. He just says, "I lost the finger," and it sends him down the funniest. Like,
yeah.
Hey, buddy. There's a movie happening and you should be like, it was almost like he like forgot his line. And that was like how he bailed out of the scene, was just being like, oh no. Oh no. Oh God. Oh no. And I loved it.
What if this was an experiment where the director didn't give the actors any direction, but anytime they suggested something for their character, he said yes to it.
Maybe.
And I love that idea, because then it shows how crazy some people are, where they're like, well, I think my character would really, you know, like, and they're like,
yeah,
go with that.
Yeah, let's see where that goes, right?
Yeah. And then none of it makes sense.
And none of it, but somehow it's the best take. And yeah, it just all gets like compiled and somehow makes a movie. Not a good one, but like the movie works.
Interesting.
There's the beginning, middle, and end. Oh, God. I love this scene, though.
Where they meet Cheryl and Colin Hanks meet at the party where she's just smashing goldfish. And then he smashes a chip, and then they keep just smashing things. And then he takes it to the next level where he dips his hand in the dip.
Oh, God. That was so upsetting.
Yeah, but to me, if that was me, if I was her, I'd be like, you took it too far. We were smashing things. Like, this doesn't play the game, Colin.
Yeah, what are you doing? I smashed... one thing in response to my one thing. Your thing was a little bigger. I smashed two things.
Yeah.
And then you dipped your hand in the hummus? Like, what? No, that's not what this is, buddy.
Yeah.
Find something else to smash. Smash, for fuck's sake, you could smash, like, a glass or a plate or something. It's not your house.
Yeah.
Right? Also...
But squish? No.
No. Also, just, that was so... She was so violent.
Yes.
She was such a... It was never explained why she was such a violent human being.
Yeah, she had problems.
Yeah, she did.
That's also how she lost her finger, because she gets angry at this armadillo and then cuts her finger off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uses a buzzsaw or some shit. Like, uses a tool that... Sure, why not have it in Bob's woodland taxidermy or whatever it was. But her behavior made no sense. Especially if there was an artifact, like a smuggled expensive book in there, which I think she kind of references, maybe. Where she's like, I think I maybe overreacted since there was a book in there. And it was like, yeah, dum-dum, there's a... This is your whole thing is being an international art smuggler, and you're using a table saw to cut open an armadillo. Like,
yeah.
Come on, do better.
She wasn't so very violent. Smart. But I know this actress because she was in the Clueless TV show.
I wanted to know where... I can't say I'd ever seen her in anything other than this.
Yeah, she was in the Clueless TV series, which was basically everyone returning from the movie except for Alicia. But she's also going to be in a new Amazon series that's based on a Jenny Han book who wrote To All the Boys I Loved Before. So... She's gonna have a resurgence.
She's about, that's well, about to be a big.
Yeah,
that's big.
I think she's done well though. Her IMDb looks like she's been working consistently. So.
Yeah, but she's one of those like blonde actresses, actors who just kind of ends up in the I recognized her but didn't recognize her. You know, like, it was like, oh, she looks like that one funny, like, blonde lady, but not her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think you're like nodding because I think, you know, whoever she is. Would I say Elizabeth Shue? Does that sound like the right name?
Elizabeth Shue, wasn't she in Back to the Future?
I'm bad with actor names, by the way.
Yeah.
So that could be just a made up name. all names are made up.
Not mine. Mine is real.
Mine's real. Always has been. Always will be. But she's in a very interesting person to look at on screen.
Yeah.
But the violence thing, again, this is like what you were saying, like the director was like, maybe your character's like kind of like freaks out and gets violent.
Yeah.
Like she was like, but why did I chop my finger off? And he's like, why do you think you chopped your finger off?
She's maybe like, I was angry. Yeah, go with it.
Yeah, the movie's careless. Yeah, you're angry. You're careless. Sure, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just such a weird thing.
Yeah. I don't know. There's references to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. Again, a central thing that they just sort of abandon.
Yeah. Maybe not, though, because at the end of the movie, they don't end up together, and she does talk about that.
But just... that feels a little tangential. Yeah. But it's the best we got, so let's go with it.
Yeah.
She does say, like, yeah, because she likes the version in the book because they end up together, right?
In the movie, they do.
In the movie, they end up together, but in the book, they don't.
They don't, because,
yeah. Yeah, because that's good writing.
Yeah.
which they were like... Yeah, that's good writing. Let's make that the end of our movie. And it's like, no, they made Breakfast at Tiffany's and they end up together because we need people to end up together at the end of movies to make it feel satisfying. And they're like, no, 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 no. This is indie.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's a film student thing.
Yeah, that's, it is. That
feels like a pretentious film student. No, but... In my movie, they're not going to end up together. And then, like, the professor's like, yeah, but I feel like, and it's like, no, no. You know?
Yeah, I like the professor being like, well, yeah, I see you're trying to be an original, but, like, for the composition's purpose, yeah, got it, prof. It's like, don't call me prof. I've told you not to call me prof. My name's Darren. Just stop that. But yeah, it's just this, it does have this like film school, like, watch how different this movie, is going to win awards because it's different.
Yeah. The only thing it's missing that was like always a thing in student films that I remember is like a bathtub scene. I feel like that was always someone's in a bathtub at some point. Someone is naked in a bathtub. Yeah. That's artsy. So,
exactly. And like just the acoustics of the bathroom, like the tile.
Dripping of the water. Oh, God.
It's production value if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is missing. What is there? Are there any quintessential moments in this movie that like feel like that though?
No. Oh, there is one moment that really made me feel like that one Tommy Wiseau movie where they're on the rooftop sitting in chairs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, is this, was it The Room? Is that what that movie's
called? Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Which again, yeah, me neither. I've only seen
and then I've seen Zach Wilson do an impression, but
many times. That is my reference point is like Zach Olson's Tommy Wiseau. Even more so than like James Franco in the movie. I'm like, Zach is Tommy Wiseau. There's I can't think of any other moments that would make sense, like the father son moments, maybe the bar moments.
Yeah,
but even the bar moments get weird.
Yeah, she smacks a person with the bottle and then runs off and then faints.
Yeah, like that was. Oh, and then Colin's like, I know what I'll do. I'll just drive drunk all over Los Angeles. It's like what. What an interesting thing to make your character to like write for your character to be like, they get so drunk that she passes out and he takes it as an opportunity to drive all around LA and like weirdly like I mean, assault her. Touches her without her being conscious. So it's just like, this is all weird. Everything about that choice was weird.
Yeah.
It got
Hopefully
so
that
weird.
Wasn't Colin's choice as an actor.
No.
Colin was like, no, you tell me what to do.
he's the only one who got any direction in this movie. Otherwise, the director's like, I don't care. Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even Tony Shalhoub was like, chicken wings.
He's like, I'm going to improvise a story about his mom dying because of chicken wings. And the director's like, well, his mom's not dead. Whatever. Go ahead, Tony. We'll make it make sense later.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I truly... When this was done, I went back and, like, looked at just the settings of this. And again, I was baffled at, like, when this took place. All of the, like... The shot selection in L.A., the cars that are going by, like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna fucking figure this out. Are they gonna try and make this feel like it was like a turn, like a 2000 movie? Because any movie that happened after 2001 at least references that, like, 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
Or, like, tonally, there's a shift where it doesn't feel like a. I can't even, like. I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to sing a little. It's the I want something else.
Oh, yeah.
Get me through the. Like, it just. This movie has that tone.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the world is like a serious place at this point, and it should feel a little more serious than just like, I found a finger in my apartment. I don't know where it goes. <It's> like, there's no gravity. There's no gravity in this movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
At one point, though, the finger thing, how it was so unusual, it did feel like a Coen Brothers thing. Like, that would be in a Coen Brothers movie. But yeah. I feel like they would have done Man Finds Finger in His Kitchen Randomly better. Well, obviously, they're the Coen Brothers, but...
Yeah, I mean, that absolutely would have been... Oh, God, just the potential for, like, the narrative that, like... He is a, like, he works in a store. Okay, can we, like, rewrite this movie? Can we real quickly? Like,
Works in a detective bookstore, a mystery bookstore. So
he's a literature major.
Yeah, and he loves mysteries, you know? He wants to
But why does he work in this, why does he work in this store, though? Like, what, like, what's his connection to the store? It can't, right? It has to be more than just, it's the first job I applied to when I got out of college.
He loves mysteries. He wants to write one. He wants to be a part of one.
There we go.
So then
he uses this as like research, but gets lost in the process because it's his first post-college job.
Yeah.
And it pays him well. And he's happy and he's surrounded by things and people and ideas that he loves, right?
Yeah. And then he finds a finger in his kitchen, a real life mystery he gets to solve. And
holy shit. Right?
Everyone's like, you should just report that finger. You should, and he's like, no, I have to solve the mystery of the finger.
Maybe he's like blocked. Maybe he's like blocked and this shows up and he's like, boom, here's a mystery to solve.
This
right?
is my, yeah, this is my
this is it.
Moment.
And maybe he like keeps the finger in the freezer and separate and won't bring it around. So people are like, have you snapped?
Yeah.
Like, have you... What happened here? Is this real? Like, are you fabricating this? Have you had a... Like, what is going on, dude?
It could be like The Burbs, you know? This has the potential to be like The Burbs, where, like, he starts to fabricate this, like, thing about his weird neighbor, and no one really believes him. They all think that he's kind of losing it because, like, he's lost... And then eventually at the end of the movie, because after it's revealed that it's not them, you know, it's not their finger, right? Because like it's like proven. But then we find out that it was them and then they're trying to kill him and he's trying to prove that he was right all along. And then it all ends up solved.
God, this is you. This is a far superior movie.
Yeah.
Truly.
And Tony Shalhoub is...
And Tony Shalhoub is the dad. And, like, maybe his dad is either, like, a retired cop or maybe he's, like, a successful writer and that's why he wants to be a writer. Maybe Mitch is his old college roommate. And maybe Anne is either the person who works at the store or it's, like, Mitch's, like, college girlfriend who they moved out of a place together and that's where he still lives and like he can't move on and there's this whole like, come on buddy, like I want you to like be happy, right? Like, oh snap, you've met someone, you've like, this is a person who like maybe you could be happy, but don't let the mystery thing like ruin it or whatever. And like, holy shit, she's involved, like we literally it took us less than 5 minutes to pitch a far superior version of this movie.
Oh man.
Wow.
Well,
Colin. We should reach out to Colin and see if he wants to like, you know,
redo it.
Maybe. Yeah.
This time he's the dad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There we go. He's the Tony Shalhoub. Are you kidding me? This is perfect. Yeah.
Instead of careless, it's careful.
And it's because he won't actually start. He's like still stuck in this rut. And it's like, you got to be a little more careless.
Yeah. Right? Well, let's do it.
I can't. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well.
There is one connection, I guess, to Tom in this movie, according to IMDb. When Colin Hanks is mugged and left with only one red shoe, that is a reference to the man with one red shoe.
Oh, that's it. Oh God. Yes, that mugging scene was so funny. That was such like, again, just these like little moments where it was like, where did this come from? Why?
Yeah.
Why did this have to happen? Why did he get like stomped out by a group of like they went after him? What a weird, there are too many moments, there are too many moments in this movie that like I want to see the director's cut, I want to read the script, but I don't.
No, I know? For this season of the podcast, because Colin Hanks has a line of Hankskerchiefs, which are handkerchiefs but called Hankskerchiefs, I'm having
hold on, Rachel, is this is this a real thing?
Yeah. I have two of them. I have a red one that's called the Samantha, which I think is either named after Colin's wife or Colin's mother. And then I have one from Record Day, which is yellow, and it looks like a little record
player. Wait, hold on a second. I just got a little nugget of... wait, did you say that Colin's mom is named Samantha and his wife is named Samantha? So he married a woman with the same...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting, well, that's fact. Not weird, right? Because you're not calling your mom by her first name, right? So she's mom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But it wouldn't be weird for, like, the wife? This is weird to have.
This could be a movie where it's like you meet the girl of your dreams.
Yeah.
But she has the same name as your mom. What do you do?
Yeah. I have some personal stakes in this. My mom's name is Karen. And we all know what
you can't marry a Karen.
I could never marry a Karen for multiple reasons, right?
I feel bad for non-white Karens.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel pretty bad too. I mean, just anyone named Karen. Yeah, I'm like, oh, that you kind of kind of drew the short straw with that one, huh?
It's like a few years ago when people named Becky were, you know, Becky with the good hair, right? But at least Becky had good hair, so.
Yeah, there was shade, but it's like, I mean, at least she's like they're trying to take her down a peg, which means she's like above them.
Yeah.
But Karen is like the most like dismissive. Oh, she's just a Karen. It's like,
yeah. Oh no.
I mean,
what's the nickname for Karen? K.
Yeah, K. Maybe KK.
KK. Whoa, that's getting.
That's dangerous. But I guess with this, now I'm like thinking about this movie or this story of someone who meets a woman with the same name. Mm-hmm. Or if it's like a man meets a man with the same name, or a woman meets a man, or a woman meets a woman, whatever the permutation is, where you're meeting someone with like your parents' same name, and they're like they're like the one otherwise.
I mean, I don't think I've ever met a man named Bruce. That's my age.
that's your perfect type. I also feel like Bruce is not a name that most men have at this point in time.
Yeah, no. Just dads named Bruce.
Yeah. I was like, no, well, not dads. I had friends growing up. I'm like, oh, yeah, friends who are dads. And I bet, and actually, literally the first Bruce that I thought of, he's a dad. It's definitely a dad name.
Unless we're talking about Batman, there are no eligible bachelors named Bruce.
That's true. Unless you're the most uneligible bachelor.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Bruce Wayne?
Batman.
Oh, God. He's got these. Sorry, we sidetracked so much. Sorry.
No.
Handkerchiefs.
Handkerchiefs. So I'm having everyone design a handkerchief based on the movie they saw. So you pitch me what your handkerchief would look like for the movie Careless.
I mean, just the thing that sticks out to me the most is, I've got a couple. Oh, now I've got multiple things. One, I would like, first idea, not the best idea, but just a handkerchief with multiple like cracked eggs on it, just like eggs like a silk background. Is one of them. Another one would be a white handkerchief with like a bloody fingerprint on it. Which is the more practical one, I guess, the one that would sell the most. But the thing, and it's not even the handkerchief, but it is the thing that is peripheral to this. It's the fake finger.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, magicians tuck the handkerchief in. I mean, that's just, that's the carrying case for this handkerchief, for this edition.
Oh, wow.
That's what it comes in. That's like the packaging would be like a fake finger.
Wow. I used to have one of those when I was in New York still, and I was in an ASP, and I remember we didn't have a bit for hosting Herald Night, so I was like, I've got this.
I have a prop, a singular prop.
Well, it was for the word.
What did you do?
Which is that one where it's like you just do whatever you feel like kind of thing. So they were like, yeah, Rachel, go out and do that. And I was like, okay.
You're like, I got no hosting bit. I have a fake finger that I really only use to entertain myself and like a couple other people. Let's bring it into a theater.
It was from a Criss Angel magic kit.
Oh.
That I got for free from work because we were working on a Criss Angel Believe TV series for Spike TV.
Was there any makeup involved? Was there eyeliner or like fake jewelry or like a pendant or anything?
I wish, but no. It was the finger and like the cup thing. The cups.
Oh yeah, yeah. Was the fingernail painted though?
No.
Oh my God! What a missed opportunity! It's Criss fucking Angel.
I know, right?
Paint the damn finger, right? He has painted fingers.
Yeah.
Look, I'm so happy that I was not involved in these marketing meetings, because I would have made them last longer. So, hopefully I wasn't involved. But
we're like, no. Okay, and another thing I'm making people do this season is I'm making them take BuzzFeed quizzes that are loosely based on the movies that we watched. So this one is called Eat Your Way Through This Buffet, and we'll reveal which finger you are.
Okay.
So we're going to find out which finger you are. Okay.
That completely caught me off guard. I was not prepared for the topic of this. Okay, great.
Okay, pick your first meal. Do you want steak, roasted chicken, salmon, salad, or pasta?
For my first meal?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the order? Like, what is, why does this have to be ordered?
It's
just like my favorite.
You're at a buffet and you're picking your first meal. The first thing you want to eat. Do you eat steak, roasted chicken, salmon, salad, or pasta?
Oh God, this is brutal. I mean, I know that I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to have to go right for the roasted chicken. I'm going right for it. Yeah. Straight away.
Okay, time for seconds. Do you want pizza, sushi, noodles, lobster, or fries?
I mean, pizza. It's gonna be pizza. Is it buffet? It's good. It's buffet pizza, right? So it's not like. Yeah, I'm going for buffet pizza. It's
like
always
a
bad,
CC's
but good.
Pizza.
Yeah. Oh, CC's. Why are there no CC's in California?
I don't know. I love it.
The dessert pizzas? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. There was like that cinnamon one, right?
Yep, that's exactly what I was like. I'm thinking of the one that's like drizzled with.
I miss it. I miss buffets. That's not really a pandemic thing you can do.
Yeah, it's kind of exactly against it.
Dang. Well, what's next? Soup, burger, gnocchi, fried eggs, or roasted vegetables?
Oh, roasted vegetables. Hit me up with the roasted vegetables. I'm guessing that there are no roasted Brussels sprouts, but because this is like an imagined buffet, I'm thinking it's an assortment of different kinds of roasted Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
And like sauteed Brussels sprouts. We're talking like sweet honey, some with like bacon, but it's duck bacon.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Roasted Brussels sprouts with duck bacon.
Well, do you have room for more? Fried rice, quiche, meatballs, burrito, or nachos?
Burrito is a hilarious option in there, by the way. Yeah. Just like a whole ass burrito.
Yeah.
I like a good quiche. I like a good egg pie.
Yeah,
especially if it's got some like some savory goodness in there. I'll go for a quiche. Yeah, like more duck bacon.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we retroactively put duck bacon in everything?
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
duck bacon on the pizza.
I don't know if you
want
to put it in this next one. Time for dessert. Crepes, cupcakes, chocolate chip cookies, brownies, or yogurt?
I am a huge fan of cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
I'm one of those people who, if you got a cupcake, and if there's, especially if there's some frosting on there, and like, I'm not talking like, it doesn't have to be that like the perfect frosting. It just needs to be a frosting on there.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of cupcake though, a carrot cake cupcake.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like they're fancy gourmet, so they got the cream cheese topping on there.
Yeah.
And then like a little bit of like, it's less viscous, but it's still a cream cheese like little pocket within the cupcake itself. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Okay, well,
dessert. Sprinkle with duck bacon, candied duck bacon on top of it.
you're still craving something sweet. Do you get chocolate, fruit salad, panna cotta, ice cream, or cheesecake?
I'm pissed because I want is to be like a Chinese buffet, so they have the little like
donuts,
but they don't have this, huh? Oh, panna cotta. Panna cotta is it's a great dessert. It's not like usually not too big of a serving, so it's like a reasonable small thing that you're hitting. Maybe there's a little fruit on top of it, so I can get some Nutella. Fruit in there too. Yeah, maybe some Nutella. Oh, some Nutella.
Yeah.
There could be just like maybe like a tiny little drizzle of like some duck bacon fat.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, just drizzle it on my panna cotta. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're at the finish line. Do you get?
I've eaten so much. It's a buffet, so I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Do you get apple pie, cake pops, hot chocolate, waffle, or donuts?
Ooh, donuts. Yeah, the donuts always. I've already had cake pops. I've already had a little bit of a pie action with the egg pie with the quiche. So yeah.
You've got your crust.
Yeah. And no, brownie was the other option?
Yeah. No, it was waffle.
Oh, waffle. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Waffles, and like brownies too, and like cookies, they're like hit and miss at buffets.
Yeah.
You can't, unless you got them getting made right in front of you.
Yeah, no.
Hey, that's a different story.
Yeah.
We're talking fresh cookies, right? Yeah, but I got to go with donuts. Come on, donuts, right?
Donuts. Okay, well, you are the ring finger. You have a romantic soul, and you believe that love can save the world. You're always loving and caring and bringing out the best in people around you.
Damn, aww. BuzzFeed with its finger on my pulse. Wow.
It got you.
Okay, shout out to BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Wow, you are the ring finger.
Oh god. Well, and it was the index finger that she lost in this.
Yeah. That would suck. I'm trying to think of what finger. I guess your pinky, right? You don't really use your pinky that much.
Yeah, I don't think so, but also how are you gonna be classy if you can't put your pinky out though?
Right.
You'd just be low class for the rest of your life.
Unless everyone's like, oh, you're just really classy because you don't have a pinky to put out.
Oh, it's that light, like that it just like,
yeah,
it's out, it's literally just out.
Yeah. And they're okay. Like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, pinky's good. I had a friend whose dad was a Vietnam vet, and he had lost his pinky. So he just had like Simpsons character with like four fingers. Yeah. And I'm making light of it because he would always make light of it. His dominant hand was his right hand, but he would always shake with his left hand, which was the one with the amputated finger, just to like, and he'd like look at people like in their eyes as they do it and be like, yeah, this is something else is going on here. Or, you know, like always like give us high fives. So he was very funny, dude.
Yeah. You mean high fours.
High fours. Exactly. See, yeah, you nailed it. He'd be like, high four. And he'd go and be like, oh, right. Because, yeah, Mr. Man. Yeah, right, right. Oh, God. But yeah, I think pinky.
Pinky. Yeah. But you are a ring finger. Okay, well, now is the time where we rate this movie out of 5 Colin Hankses. How many Colin Hankses do you give Careless?
Oh no, I feel so bad now. No,
don't feel bad.
Do I, oh god, all right, can we do half Hankses?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say this is 1.5 Hankses.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the half Hanks is Chet Hanks.
Yeah, I knew it. Dang.
I'm sorry. But like, this movie brought a lot of Chet Hanks energy to it.
It did, didn't it?
Just a lot of chaos, random, like, you're trying to, like, push buttons, but you don't know how. You think you're figuring it all out. You think you're smarter than you are. It's had some serious Chet Hanks energy. Yeah. But it gets one Colin and a half a Chet.
Yeah, and you also think you're funnier than you are.
Yeah, way funnier than you are. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one a one Colin. I didn't
like it. A one Colin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it either. I didn't even want to give it a one Colin, but I was like, I can't have more Chet than Colin in this.
Yeah. You're right.
So we'll go with one. Right?
Yeah.
Plus, Tony Shalhoub was in it.
Yeah.
That earns at least one Colin. That is a one Colin. That's a solid one Colin.
That's a solid one Colin. And you know what?
He props up the, yeah.
You know what, Colin? It is always fun to hang out with you, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. He is he's so warm and delightful, even when the movie is bad.
Yeah, he's like his dad, where like even, well, Tom doesn't really make bad movies.
He doesn't really make bad movies, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like, how do you make so many bad movies?
Yeah.
When your dad makes nothing but good movies.
Yeah. Even if the movie is bad, your dad makes the movie good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's the thing. Colin's like, I'm picking bad movies because my dad sometimes is in bad movies, but he makes them good. So I'll make them good. And it's like, Colin, you're not there yet.
No, you're not a big fish in a small pond. You're just like a medium-sized fish in like a vast ocean.
Yeah.
It's not looking good on you, kid.
Yeah. But you are charming.
He is charming, and he's not his brother.
Yeah, and you're not Chet. Okay, well, Corey, where can people find you?
They can find me online. I'm a presence on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. I am Burn Corey Burn. And that's BURNCORYBURN. I'm also, I have an account on TikTok, but I do not have anything on. I think I may have posted like one or two videos forever ago when it first started, but I don't care. I'm just not that, I don't do that. you can also find me, I perform with the Illuminati Improv twice a month. I do virtual improv for now until we're able to do it in real, like, real life. But we are doing shows twice a month, and that can be found at IlluminatiImprov.com. There are four I's in there because there are four of us. This is my like retconning of why we couldn't get the spelling with just three I's. So we add an extra I in there. But it's myself, Jess Allen Eason, Betsy Stover, and Ari Vukitis.
Oh, fun.
And yeah, we have people rotate in and play with us. If you ever want to play, it's out there. It's putting it out there if you want to do some virtual profs. We also offer classes too. So outside of the normal UCB world, with a little more like life skills and a little more actual real world skills, like acting and auditioning and just being a better communicator and all that stuff. Cool. So yeah, we're offering workshops and they're pretty cheap. Like 20 bucks, 30 bucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone, go take a class, go see a show, and follow Corey online.
Yeah. And Illuminati Improv is all over social media with that tag, too.
Four eyes.
perfect. Thank you so much for having me, Rachel.
Thank you for doing this. This is so fun.
Yeah, and if you wanted to revisit any of his other work, I'd be happy to come back and see a movie that will make sense.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
Oh, fingers crossed.
I'm really sorry, but thank you so much for suffering through this one.
Well worth the suffer. It was fun to think of random humor in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And see a flip phone. There's a flip phone in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One solitary flip phone and a bunch of landlines. Also, confusing the hell out of the timeline of when it was made.
Yeah.
Great.
So yeah. Good. Well, thank you. And thanks for listening. Okay.
Bye. It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say